Thank you, Kelsey. I want to pray for dads today before I start my message. And just to, you know, to remember that, like, when I put on this tie once a year, it brings me back to that moment in Kmart when I had gone to with all the four older kids, and Bethany was four or five, and we all went to Kmart to find Daddy a tie. I needed a tie, and so we got there, and we were, you know, when you the four kids, they're kind of going everywhere, and all of a sudden I hear this little girl's voice, you know, calling out throughout all of Kmart, "Daddy, Daddy, I found you a tie." And she came running down the aisle with this tie in her hand. And the thing that I remember is the look on her face, you know, the absolute intensity. I solved the family problem. The family had a problem, and we all had to get in the car to go solve it. And I found the answer. And the joy in her little heart that she had found an especially beautiful one. This wasn't just a tie. This was the tie of all ties. And so, you know, when it comes to Father's Day and I put this tie on, I think of children in their innocence and their zeal and just their sense of delight. Yeah, I solved the family problem or whatever it might be, and just how we, as fathers and mothers and those of us who have any influence in our lives of little ones, how we have to steward those little hearts, right? Steward those little hearts and say, "Thank you, Bethany. That's beautiful. I'll probably wear it for the next 50 years." At least once a year. That's all it gets, is once a year. But, you know, it's special, and it reminds me of just the honor that God has given all of us as fathers to Father. And as Jesus said, you know, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you had they tied a millstone around your neck and thrown you in a lake. And I think, okay, so it's, you know, as a dad, it's hard to walk that line and be able to say, "I never caused a little one to stumble in some way." But what God's looking for is us to be able to pick them back up again. And if he feels that way about people who cause little ones to stumble, how much more he blesses and loves those who pick them up. And that is a father or a mother or someone who's never had children themselves. We can all do that. So let's pray. Gracious God, I just thank you that you've honored me and blessed me. And you've helped me by the power of your Holy Spirit to be a better dad than I would have been on my own. And so, God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your fathering of me and all of us. And I thank you for the gift of fathering that you've given to the church and to all of us in our individual lives. And I just pray, Father, for dads, that they will have what they need by the power of the Holy Spirit to be the dad that their children need in them. And that's my prayer. God, make me the dad that my children need. And I pray that for all the dads here. And God will make you the dad that your children and your grandchildren, for some of you great-grandchildren, that what do they need in their lives at this time to have in a dad or a grandpa or a great-grandpa, or a spiritual dad, or a mentor. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. One other thing I'd like to just help us, have us say a prayer about, and that is the new holiday that we have upon us, Juneteenth. is one that many people don't understand or realize the import of. And that is that after Abraham Lincoln declared slaves to be free, not every state passed that message on. And in the state of Texas specifically, there was at least 2 years, maybe 3 years, where slaves continued to be enslaved after they were set free because nobody told them. And finally, it took a government army to go into Texas to tell the people there, you have to implement what the Civil War was fought for. You have to implement the Emancipation Proclamation. You have to implement the law of the land, and you have to set the slaves free. And it was on that day that the last state released their slaves. And this group of human beings who were just property, you could sell one, you could buy one, you could do what you wanted to them. They were just property. And I think for 2 years, they were free, but no one allowed them or told them they were free. And that just, you know, that kind of breaks your heart, doesn't it? Well, it ought to it ought to break all of our hearts to think of that. And so what I want to do is I just want to pray for God to continue to bless the equality of all human beings in the United States of America and in our world. Because even after freedom, separate but equal was not equal. So we have a lot to tell God that we're sorry for, and a lot to ask Him to bless as we go forward. So gracious God, I don't know how many people died in those 2 or 3 years that they weren't told that they were free. But I'm sorry for that, Lord. And I'm sorry for the human tendency to hold other people down. I'm sorry for the natural prejudice in our hearts that grows up around us. And God, I pray that you'll continue to heal and bless. And just continue to give us your eyes. Give us your eyes, God, to see everyone on all the earth, in all the earth and in every place that we are as souls that you have embodied and created in your likeness. And help us to honor that and respect that and bless that. And help every soul live to the fullness of what your created purpose was for them. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Gosh, I just really love being a dad. I really love being a pastor. Oh, by the way, It was 40 years ago today on Father's Day that I began my ministry. At Glassford United Methodist Church. And personally, I always thought that 40 years was kind of a time of completion. Turns out it's not. Bethany, good morning. That's all we need to say, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so I'm thankful to that as well. That you know, for 40 years, God didn't take me out. He probably could have or should have, but you know, at some point. But no, I'm still here, and I feel good about being here and being a pastor. But 40 years, I thought. You know, Moses, come on now, Lord. You know, Moses checked out at 40, right? And well, no, actually, I don't want to check out like that. I didn't mean that kind of check out. Whoa, okay, back up. So Jesus, thank you that for 40 years, and you think that I need to keep going, so thank you, Lord. And just continue to help me, Holy Spirit, because in my own, like as being a father, being a pastor in my own strength and efforts and abilities, it doesn't work. It's not good. But by your Spirit, when I get out of the way, you do some good things and some great things. So thank you for that, God. And I just pray that you continue to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the ministries of the Holy Spirit is what I'm going to continue on today, picking up from last week. But, you know, can I see the microphone for a second? Yeah. I was going to ask you, Barb, we prayed for Barb in the service last week. Do you guys remember that? We were talking about the Holy Spirit. We came over here and we prayed over you. Did we just do the Holy Spirit hovering over you? And so how's this week gone for you? I mean, has it been a mess? What's happened?
Actually, I'm going to be retiring in November, and I've been struggling with how can I, and for some reason, imagine that, pieces all fell into place this week, and I truly have peace about my retirement.
Praise God. Come on, yeah, right? So I guess the thing that I'm yearning for and I'm asking for and praying for, and I want you to pray along with me, that that when we gather as a Christian community, we aren't just gathering to hear more information about how things work or what happened back in, 2000 BC or right? We're gathering to demonstrate the reality of God. Like, we should be able to come and when we leave say, no, God's real. God's real. I felt God, or I saw God, or I did something with God. Like, God on the earth is a real entity that comes in the gathered community of his people and does things. And we experience those things. And so we're not just theorizing, right? We're not just theorizing that this is how God works. You know, I look at all the banners, and I prayed over these banners for. I had an encounter with God yesterday on Encounter God Saturday that was very powerful, and I'm very tender still emotionally from it, and so I'm hoping to be able to not, go weepy on you, but. But, looking at these banners and saying, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, come. Those are nice banners, aren't they? Those are good things to say, aren't they? We sang it. Holy Spirit, come fill this place, right? We sang it. But when does that happen? When do we just say, God, we need you. Like, not just the idea of you, not just the theory of you, but God, I really need you. I want you. I want you so badly, God, but I want you here. I mean, I know I know there's a way of getting God, and that is to check out like Moses. But I want God to just be real amongst us. I want us to be able to, as a group, to be able to pray for somebody. And have her come the next week and say, yeah, wow, everything fell into place. Holy Spirit was hovering, like you said, and then that's what happened. Or Ken, for you to come to Encounter God Saturday and have something going on, and you say, I got healed from something, right? So Encounter God Saturday is not just an idea. It's an actual thing that you do actually encounter a real, living, active God in our midst. And that's when we look at the ministries of the Holy Spirit, I want to see that these things can actually be real and we can actually experience them. And so I am going to stop at different times today to actually pray for people, and I'm hoping and praying that I'm just, God, I want you to show up. So I want to finish this up today with what I was intended to present on Pentecost. This is the third sermon from those same notes. But the inner transformation part we ended with and touched on last week. Let me go back over that just briefly and talk about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we think of the work of the Holy Spirit as, when the Holy Spirit comes, that's when people get healed and we prophesy or we speak in tongues or we fall over. And it's like, no, there's so much work. There's so much to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There is so much that we forget or we just don't lift up. And when we look in the conversation that Jesus is having about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and 16, which are beautiful chapters to understand all of this, you hear things like this. And I, John 14, 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And then in 14, 26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And in chapter 16, 7, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? It's for your good that I'm leaving? It's like, why in the world, right? Like, I don't think so, Jesus. I think you need to stay here right now, right? He's like, no, actually, I'm telling you the truth. That's why he has to preface it that way. I'm actually telling you the truth. It's true, guys. It's good for you that I'm going away, because he knows he's going to be established with all authority at the right hand of the Father, and the Spirit will be on the earth, moving through all of the people with his power and authority. He knows a shift will take place that is for the good of the world and for good for all of us. But he says, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Wow. John 16, 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not only speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Do you hear all these words? The counselor, the Spirit of Truth, all of this kind of stuff. Folks, have you ever needed a counselor? Have you ever needed a counselor who just is there? Like, okay, like open up the door. Counselor, I need some advice on this. A constant. And Holy Spirit is that. Here's the problem. Hearing the voice is the problem. The counselor is there, right? The counselor's been promised. The counselor is there. You belong to Jesus, right? You belong to Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. The problem is the connection and hearing. And there are things that God has given to us to increase our level of understanding and hearing. And one of those is just simply that we pray for one another to hear the voice of the Spirit. It's that simple. Who here this morning would really like a prayer for more clarity in hearing the voice of the Spirit? All right? Oh, okay. Well then, Jim out in the lobby is wanting to hear it. Carla, okay. I'm going to pray for you, okay? Excuse me, Katrine. I'm Carol. I'm going to step through here. Carol, you want to put your hand over here? Yeah, this is Dada. Yeah, I'd pray for this Dada. And I know that his heart has been wounded as a daddy. And I know that his heart has been blessed and filled as a daddy. And I just pray for him, God, that you will let your voice be clear, that he'll hear you like he hasn't heard before, that he will begin to say, oh, my goodness, that's the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, come right now. Spirit of God, come right now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matt, you let us know, okay? You let us know, buddy, how that goes. I feel God touched him. I feel like God touched him. I just want to know that. I just want to see. I just want to feel that. I just want to say that. I just want to just, you know what I mean? I just want to land there. God touched him. God touched Matt. He's going to hear the voice. All right. So In those two chapters, we hear of the inner transformation that's taking place in Ephesians. Here's what we read in chapter 3 of Ephesians. Yes, I am. Ephesians 3:16. I pray, listen to this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Part of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is to make, it is to cause Christ to dwell in us, in our hearts through faith, so that we become more like him. Okay? And if, what Ephesians is saying is here is that there's a change. I pray that out of his glory, out of the glorious riches of God, he will strengthen you, take his riches and strengthen you, Ashley. He'll strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Okay? There is a power to change us on the inside. There's a power to do a work in us. There's a power to strengthen us. Do you need strengthening, Ashley?
Always.
You need, yes. And it's like strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith more and more and more. Make me more like Jesus. Who wants to say, make me more like Jesus? I mean, ultimately, this is going to lead us to that banner over there, fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does anyone want that? We would like to have all sorts. Yes, Jim's out there in the lobby jumping up and down and waving again. You know, someday that man's going to make it into the sanctuary. You know what I mean? Every Sunday he comes and he makes it that far. And, you know, someday when Jim Simmons makes it in here, we're going to come on up to the front, son. But, you know, it's like there's what does it mean to have fruit? It means that that's the result of, right? That's the result of. And what this is saying is, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power of the Spirit together with all the saints to grasp, listen to this, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What the Spirit is given to us, dear sisters and brothers, the Spirit is given to us so that we can get the whole measure of the fullness of God in our lives. That's Holy Spirit's ministry and Holy Spirit's work in us. So when we say we want you, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, fill this place, fill us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? We should have an outbreak of the Holy Spirit in these things. What in the world? People are acting so kind today. What in the world happened at Bradley Epworth? Everybody's just being nice to each other. And you know, they're joyful. They seem like they're at peace. It's like, yes, yes, it's a revival, an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. Yes, in love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, my gosh. What a great community that is to be a part of, right? And you feel the presence of God. Ashley, I want to pray for strength for you. Father God, I just pray your strength, the strength of the Spirit in Ashley and her inner being. Holy Spirit, come right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for blessing Ashley, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming upon her. This is good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. The inner transformation is a powerful thing, and I want us to understand. I'll pull out a couple of my stories. One was when my sister was at Scripps Hospital in La Jolla, and Mother Teresa came there. Because she had a heart attack while she was in Mexico, and she came and she was in the hospital. And Julia Roberts, who is a movie star, which some of you might know, for being, you know, attractive and beautiful and all that kind of stuff, and she came to see Mother Teresa. And so all the doctors were running up to the waiting room where Julia Roberts was, not to see Mother Teresa, but to see Julia Roberts. Like, oh, I need to check on Mother Teresa. Oh, hey, who is this we have here? Julia. And all of them, my sister said, all of them came back so disappointed because they went up there, and it was Julia Roberts, but when they went up there to look in the waiting room, it was just this lady sitting there in sweats with a ponytail. She didn't have the lighting. She didn't have the makeup artist. She didn't have the hair, right? And they just came back. And then when Mother Teresa left the hospital, everybody lined up in the hallway, and Mother Teresa, I don't know, can you picture Mother Teresa's face with all the wrinkles, and then she's all hunched over. And she comes walking by, and she said, those same doctors that ran up to see Julia Roberts and came back disappointed were standing in the hallway crying. They were weeping. Whew. Because of the beautiful woman that was walking by them. That inner work, you guys, that inner work that God does in us is actually... I mean, it didn't take Mother Teresa's wrinkles away, right? That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. What happened, though? There is something that our souls sense in someone else when they are beautiful in God. And we feel it. And we sense it. And it's true beauty. And it's what, and when in the new creation, that's what we're going to be seeing in each other. And all of the things we used to standardize what beautiful is or what was attractive and how we measured and compared and all those kind of things, they will not be relevant at all. They won't even be on our grid. But all of it will be beautiful by the presence of God and the inner transformation work that he's been doing in us. The second thing that, the second work that the Holy Spirit does in us is found in Ephesians. In the very first chapter, beginning in verse 13. And you also were included in, this is Ephesians 1:13, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, and having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, what the Holy Spirit's ministry is in this section here is that the Holy Spirit becomes a guarantee, a pledge guaranteeing our inheritance from hearing and believing and receiving the Holy Spirit. There then is a deposit in us guaranteeing that we are the children of God. What this is like a pledge that someone might leave in the Old Testament is, look, I'm coming to, let's say a guy comes, I want to marry your daughter, and I'm leaving, but I'll come back. But here, don't let her marry anybody else. I'm leaving this as my pledge. And maybe he takes his ring off, and it's the family heirloom that goes back generations, and it has incredible value, right? And he sets that down as his pledge, and he leaves, and everybody knows he's going to come back. Because he's going to come back to get that. He's not going to leave that. So he's set a pledge, and he's left. That could be monetary. That could be other things. But what Paul is saying is that God has come to you, and he has set his pledge, the Holy Spirit. He has put the Holy Spirit in you as that valuable thing that he takes and he leaves until he goes away to come back to get you, to marry you. And it's like he's saying, I set the Holy Spirit in Michael Good as a way of saying, Michael, you heard the gospel, you received the gospel, you believed the good news of your salvation, praise God. And when you believe the good news of the salvation, God put his Holy Spirit in you to say, I'm coming back for you, Michael. Praise God. You know, and he's like, here you go. I'm setting this in you. This is very valuable, by the way. This is very valuable, this Holy Spirit. Yeah, did you know that? That's very valuable. And he's setting it in you, and he's setting it on you, and he's saying, look, you guys, you got the Holy Spirit in you. I'm coming back. That's my guarantee. And it's the way of us knowing that we are entitled to the full inheritance of God. And in Galatians 4, let's look at that just for a moment, because it talks about that inheritance and explains it a little bit, and then we'll move on. But in 4:6 and Galatians 4:6 and 7. because you're children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Okay, so he's emphasizing what we just heard. Because you are children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, you're a child. And since you're a child, God has made you also an heir. Now listen to this, in 3:26, you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. So everything that was promised to Israel, everything that was promised to Abraham's ancestors and his children and his children's children, you get. Because God has put his seal, his guarantee, his Holy Spirit is in you. And it's the proof, dear ones, that you have become an heir to all the promises of God. Which are that you will live forever with him in a new creation, as a new body, as a resurrected person, in the joy and the glory of God forever and ever. Hallelujah and amen. This is the good news of our salvation. And it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to remind us of that and to make that clear so that we can be assured of that. Now, the third ministry of the Holy Spirit that I want to talk about is from 1 Corinthians, and that is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth and saying to them, listen to this, chapter 1, verse 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And this is the demonstration. When I remember when I was younger here in Peoria, it was Penny's at the Northwoods Mall. It's still there. But Penny's in the basement was like household goods. And I remember walking in there one day, and this guy had this vacuum, this super vacuum. And he had this white carpet set out, right? And he had a jar of dirt. And you'd come by and he'd say, hey, do you want to see a demonstration of what this vacuum can do? And it's like, sure, right? Sure. The brown, dark brown dirt in the white carpet, you know? And he kicks that on and he goes, and seriously, it just sucked it all up. It was a beautiful white carpet under that vacuum. And it was like, you know what happened to me? I got to have that vacuum. I've got to have that. Give me that vacuum. Give me three of them. You know, one for every room in the house. That is amazing. Well, believe it or not, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to demonstrate, right? To demonstrate the coming kingdom of God before we get there. That's demonstrating, look, do you want to know how, look, the good news is that the king, the earth has a king, okay? Good news, the gospel. The earth has a king, and he's coming back. He's got all authority. And when he comes back, he's going to set everything right. He's going to set everything right. Like your hurt shoulder. He's just going to come, and he's going to, now, hey, let me show you how he's going to do. Let me show you. You want me to pray for you for healing? Right? And you pray for healing? And it's go, whoa, it doesn't hurt anymore. Didn't that happen with your neighbor, Randy? Yeah, did he come back? Did he? Huh?
Yeah, his knee.
Yeah, it wasn't his shoulder, it was his knee.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday and he hasn't felt that good in like 6 weeks.
Okay, so Randy was talking to his neighbor, and he was just talking about how his knee hurt, and Randy was kind of like, well, God, I think you might want to do something here. Can I pray for you? And he said, sure, yeah. And Randy prayed for him. And the guy said, wow, it's different. It's different. And so you checked with him yesterday, and it's still better than it's been for 5 or 6 weeks. So, you know, it's like there's this little demo going on, right? Picture the vacuum, you know, getting the dirt up. And it's like God is constantly giving us little demonstrations and saying, this is what it will be like in the kingdom to come. And it's a demonstration that right now Jesus has been put in full authority. Right? He has all authority, so he has authority to be able to speak, and things will change. Now, Laura, you have a story, and I would like you to come up and share that with us, about how God demonstrated who he is and his authority, in just somebody who was just riding the train and in wherever you were. So let's hear your story about how God demonstrated Jesus' authority and his power. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'll move over.
We need a distance. So we were, I knew this might be hard for my daughter, sorry. Tyler and I used to live in Germany, in Berlin. And we rode public transportation all the time. And it was very similar to this. We were on our way home from talking about Acts from small group. And we were on fire, as you are when you read Acts just like this, or you're talking about Holy Spirit. And we were all just trying stuff as like a group. We're all like, oh, taking steps, talking to people, praying, asking God, asking Holy Spirit to show up. And I wasn't like on my high night that night. I like really had something in mind that I wanted God to do at small group, and it wasn't happening that way. So I was in a little bit of a contemplative mood, and I was a little bit grumpy. But we get on the train that night, and the car is empty, the train car. And Tyler and I sit way in the back, and there's a group of four, and it's just a group of four seats, and it's just us two. And that's it. Like, I'm in my brain. I like don't even, you know, it stops, it starts, whatever is happening. I'm just in my head. And a couple walks down at one of the stops, and I see them, but I don't really see them. You know, I'm really in my brain. I'm thinking about, like, oh, why am I this way? All this stuff, like, it's going on. But they walk down, and they sit beside us, which is kind of bizarre because the whole car is empty, but all right. And then as I'm, like, you know, tick, 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 thinking, all of a sudden I realized I just got a name. Why did I think her name was Catherine? I barely even looked at her. Like, that was weird. And took me a second longer, and I started to like form my plan, like bare minimum Holy Spirit plan, right? Like, okay, it's gonna stop. The car is gonna stop in like a few minutes, and we have to like get off. What can I do? How can I take a step? But like, I'm a little bit nervous. And our stop is coming, and you can see like Tyler start to prepare, like anticipate the stop, and he like gets up and he's like, please, wife, go ahead of me, like a gentleman would do. And I'm like brushing him past me, and he's like, you're very weird, okay? He moves past me, and I like shuffle over, doors are opening, I'm like ready to make my break, and I'm like, is your name Catherine? And she looks at me, and she goes, yeah. And I had no follow-up. I mean, nothing, like, the Lord didn't tell me anything else. So I just, like, went with, like, the good news, right? Like, the truth. And I'm like, oh, man, God just told me your name, and he loves you so much. And, I mean, that was enough. Like, she broke. Tyler's, like, coming back from off the train. He's like, what's happening? And we sit down, and she just bawls, and she tells us lots of stuff, and I mean, we pray for them, we get their numbers, we go much further out of the way than we should have that night. The Holy Spirit, just the name was enough. And I mean, yeah, we have a long story with them. God really met her and her husband, spoke to them, like showed up when they were in a very spiritually dark place. A couple weeks later on Pentecost, they accepted Jesus. So, I mean, yeah. Woo, hopefully that was short and good, and yeah.
No, wait. A couple weeks ago, you had a little house church, right? A house
gathering. Oh, yeah, that's true.
They came to that?
Yeah. So Tyler and I had like a little, we had our church, our small group, and then we had like a group on Friday nights that met at our place. And I invited them to any, you know, like whatever suits you, please come to anything, you know, would love to meet with you again. I'm not just trying to meet you and not meet you again. So they showed up on Friday night to our place. And that night it was, we just prayed together. We read Psalms. I mean, we did as we did. We lived life, but we lived, like we ate pizza together first and then we just worshiped. And it was very free form, you know, as we do here. You read a psalm, someone talks, someone shares something, and Holy Spirit just showed up again and really touched him. His name was Eric, the husband, And he actually that night was like, "I'm ready. Like I want to meet Jesus tonight." Like he yeah. was. They were very encountered and very open, and yeah. So they came to that, and then I wish Tyler was able to be in here because yeah. So I can't quite remember what happened. If that's there was right. one more yeah, in between, right. but yeah. Then on Pentecost, yeah, we showed up to their house and yeah, prayed and.
And they gave their lives to Jesus, and did they get baptized in the
mm-hmm. church? Later that summer, and okay. it was June, and then it was just happened to be that it was in August.
So you're just sitting there, and you just, like, hear a name out of just nowhere.
Nowhere. Like very much in my brain, and a name, like, dropped in the middle of, like, your thought. Like, if you just started talking, like, yeah. you'd be like, da-da-da. I'd be like, Catherine. That's what it was like. It was very, like, just, and that's why I paid attention. I'm like, what the world? Like, I'm yeah. very, yeah.
But so how beautiful is it that she says yes and you say God loves you, which is true, right? Yeah. You knew that was true.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, you know, like, what do you want to do with this, God? Well, tell her something true, yeah. right? That I love her. And yeah. she just broke down and bawled, and ministry came out of that, and she gave her life to Jesus, and so did her husband, and praise God.
Yeah, that was yeah. very cool.
All right, thank you, Laura. Isn't that cool? Yeah, let's. So what I'm wanting here, there's Esme. She was banished. So what I want to do is I want to encourage us. What I wanted to hear that was to encourage us to remember that the Holy Spirit is demonstrating that the Holy Spirit knows people's hearts and knew that woman's name and that she was ready. Now, there could have been a lot of people on that train, and God could have given Laura their name, and they would have said, yeah, like, stay away, and nothing would have come of it. But God knew, and so he gave her that name, and she could walk to that, and God could claim that lamb. He could get that lamb back, right? And I just like, I long for the fruit of the Spirit. I long for the gifts of the Spirit, which is what Laura was talking about. And it's like, and I long for just his reality in our midst. His reality in our midst. His working. His inner transformation. His giving us gifts and knowledge and things that we know about each other and that God reveals to us. And so that when people walk in here, I know that there's this is a risky step, okay? So all of you stay tuned with me for a minute. Because it's a risky step in that if we really move with the Holy Spirit, do we slip over into that category of a strange church and strange people? Do we start getting weird, and do we not then are we not able to invite people anymore because it's just too weird? And all I can say to that is maybe, but there is a way of doing this that is what we call naturally supernatural. And that is that we can very naturally, I don't think Laura did a whole lot of weird stuff other than is your name Catherine. That's pretty calm. That's pretty, right? That's pretty straightforward. So what if Randy's talking to his neighbor and God just says, pray for his knee? What if you're in a public situation and someone says, her name is Catherine? Is your name Catherine? Yes. Well, God just told me your name, so there must be something here. I don't know what it is, but I know that he loves you. Can I pray for you? We just need more God. And I know that sounds like, oh, don't preachers always say that? But it's true. And the thing that I was here in the sanctuary longing for yesterday was just more of God. God, fill this place. God is good, okay? We can't be afraid, we can't be resistant, because we think, well, what if we become like, well, then we do. But God is good, and if it's God and not us in our flesh, it's a funny thing about us people, in our flesh we resist the Holy Spirit, And then when we get it in our flesh, we take it where it didn't go. So on either side of the spectrum, right, we've got this flesh thing, you know, either resisting the Spirit or taking it places where it wasn't. And it's like, you know what? There's this beautiful place in the middle where God just gets to be glorified and he just gets to do what he does. And we get to see the miracles and people get their lives changed. And we release the future of the coming kingdom into people's lives now. Now. Come, Lord Jesus.